following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
Welcome to God's Heritage, the Women's Hour. This broadcast is dedicated to Moriah Miche Dennis, a very gifted young lady who effortlessly excels in every undertaking. She is an excellent musician, writer, and painter, and she loves to play. We give God all the glory for all her life is and has been. We thank God for His hand of divine care and protection upon her. Last week, we gave a broad overview of Joshua's background. We saw his name change from Hoshea to Joshua. His new name gave the glory to whom it belongs, to God alone, and pointed to God as the true deliverer. Furthermore, we expressed how this made him a picture of one who endures unto the end and obtains the promise. While most say he is a type of the Savior, and he is, most importantly, he was a definite pattern of the true Christian soldier. If it wasn't so, his name would have remained Hoshea, which meant Savior. But his name changed to Joshua, meaning, the Lord is salvation. There was no power struggle documented. The picture is that of an obedient generation, ready to do God's will. Even though Joshua was selected to receive God's direct guidance, he was not above the law. Rather, he was supposed to be the example of obedience to the people. This was the only way for the blessing of God to rest upon him.
Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8.
There is a success that is not good. What one achieves is not as important as how it is achieved. Honest attainment, as humble as it may be, is far better than filthy lucre. God was watching this new generation to see if they'd follow after Him or learn to lean to their own understanding. The generation in the book of Joshua had spent their youth watching the repercussions of rebellion against God falling upon their parents. Consequently, they had to endure a lot of the hardships themselves. It appears that the lesson was learned in the most vivid way. This is that generation who laid the foundation for their country. Unfortunately, we will see that when those faithful souls die off, the new generation in the book of Judges appears not to even know God, nor their godly heritage. It is extremely dangerous to not want to retain God in their knowledge. It is very foolish to not learn from history. It is always best to learn from the mistakes of others. To say, "That was them. It is not going to happen to me. I can handle it," is equivalent to eating the fruit in the garden. That's the attitude that prevails before every fall. No one can handle it. Adam and Eve and countless accounts of the fall of nations and individuals prove this. This is why some things are best avoided rather than to test the waters and drown. And some things we must cleave to, or else we will fall. As for those faithful souls who had followed Moses, they would also follow Joshua, as long as he maintains his walk with God.
And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 and 17.
In the New Testament, Hebrews 13 and 7 puts it this way: "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." The word conversation here means conduct or behavior. They knew Joshua was qualified, but he needed to stay that way. Achievement has a way of giving us the big head. Prayer, Bible reading, as well as remembering where we came from, are good levelers. This is how we can have good success. The Bible admonishes us to not forget how we were brought out of bondage. Forgetting those things that are behind does not mean to forget where we came from and the kindness that God showed us. Forgetting those things that are behind means to burn the bridges, to cross the Rubicon, and never turn back to the life we left behind. But this can only be done by remembering the pain, the hurt, and the disappointments of the life without God. Over and over again, the Bible says, "Remember, remember, remember." Don't ever forget what God brought you out of, lest we become unthankful and then allow Satan to paint a pretty picture of our past. Then before we know it, we find ourselves tricked, back in the mud, and unable to get out. But with God, there is mercy. Though it is best to not become prodigal, never give up. There is grace for the repentant. It seems fitting to pause here and to listen to the testimonies of some who are truly thankful for a new life in Christ.
I think about the scripture that the peace of God, that God can give us, that can surpass all understanding. And sometimes that's one of the things that I pray for, where I may not have a full understanding of something, but I know that God does. And I know that God is not trying to do anything to hurt me. He's doing what's best for my soul. And if I could just, what comes to mind is hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, to just allow God to work in his time.
We all want to worship something or someone. And that's what I struggle with all my life, just wanting that love, wanting to be wanted. Struggling, it taught me to be compassionate and that people are just people. They're real. And that everyone is looking for the same thing, and that is love. That's truth. That's to worship God. And so now that I can go soul winning, I can give that back. I can look at them and know that they're going through the same thing because they're human. The encouragement that I can give to anyone is it will not always be this way. And I know that I will see him one day. And as Hannah, she was in the temple time after time, I believe, just there, just talking to God, and there's a relationship with God, and just pray, and God will meet you. You don't have to give up.
I would like to thank God for His mercy and His grace. Throughout the years, I've seen people leave, but I thank God for His mercy that He has kept me. And I thank Him for His love and the family of God, the people who prayed for me and helped me throughout the times I was in a hospital. And I thank God for His love and a family. Amen.
And God is so faithful to take care of every need, show Himself just above anything you can ask or think. So God has put people in place, and I am so indebted. Awesome God that paid your sin debt, that died for you, that took a little girl that didn't know the way and made a way through everything to put me in such a good place, such a good family. People take care of you, look after you. There's not a need that you couldn't ask somebody. And usually you don't have to ask. They call you, I'm going so-and-so, do you need anything? Oh, and so I could never thank those that God's put in our path to bring us to this place, to bless us and take such good care of us, to love us and provide. Oh my goodness, the things God has provided.
As we go on to chapter 2 of Joshua, we see He only sends out 2 spies, not 12. The lesson had been learned. They didn't need opinions, just a true military survey. At Jericho, the most unlikely person becomes key to the mission's success. During the siege, Rahab recognized that their defense had departed, so she opted to help the spies in order to save her life and her father's house. She hid the 2 men and made a covenant with them. The token of their covenant was a line of scarlet thread. This phrase can also be translated as a cord of crimson thread. The word cord in the Hebrew, when speaking figuratively, can mean hope, expectation, or the thing that I long for. Within this woman, there was a longing to be saved from the accursed city of Jericho and from all her life had been there. Unfortunately, Rahab chose to lie and use deception. She didn't have to, just like Jacob and the midwives didn't have to. God cannot honor that. However, He will not hide what really happened. We have to be careful as we read the Bible that we don't think everything we read is acceptable behavior. The scripture tells us what brought about her deliverance. She made the spies promise to her that they'd spare her, because she helped them. What saved Rahab from destruction is that she kept her side of the covenant. Make no mistake, if she was to come into the congregation of the Lord, she would have to conform, or rather, be transformed by the renewing of her mind. On the other hand, the help you provide to the work of God does not go unnoticed. God is the perfect judge. He looks at the surrounding circumstances and at the motives of the heart. At that time, evil and lying was all that she knew and could produce. What saved her was her decisiveness. Christ often said your faith has saved thee. Rahab said, give me a true token, not just any token, but a true sign that you will save me. They answered her, bind this line of scarlet thread to the window. She trusted and obeyed, and this is what saved her.
And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Joshua chapter 2, verses 20 and 21.
So the spies returned with an objective survey of the city, and Israel began to march toward the promised land. Here we are at the bank of the River Jordan, and God was about to endorse Joshua in front of the people.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Joshua chapter 3, verse 7.
This was absolutely necessary in order to build confidence in Joshua and in the people that God was still with them. This also confirmed Joshua as their new mediator. Before the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, the river's current stopped. It became a wall on the one side, while the rest of the water continued downstream. Thus, the people crossed over, along with the armed men of the 2.5 tribes that had already received their inheritance. They were coming to help in the fight for the inheritance of their brethren. After the crossing, there were 12 stones that were removed from the middle of the river. They were set up as a memorial in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. This was done that the generations to come may never forget how they passed over on dry land.
Faith in what cannot be seen. In many of the experiences in my life in church through the years, there were many instances when things or events occurred that I perceived afterward were orchestrated from behind the scenes, so to speak, meaning that they weren't accomplished by physical means, but spiritual. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've had numerous spiritual teachings and how that we have faith in so many things not seen. Technology, medical science, various facets of advancements in society. And yet, we know so little of their basic functionalities, and yet we trust in them with no reply back from those things. And so I give thanks for all of the years and all of the times and all of the ways that the invisible God has responded always at the right time to let me know that He was and is there.
In Joshua chapter 5, the manna ceased. They were never going to taste that sweet bread again. Then Joshua went by Jericho. There he saw a man ready to fight. Joshua was not a coward. He was ready to fight as well. Little did he know, he was going to meet their true captain. When Joshua asked the unidentified man, whose side are you on? Their reply made it clear. He is not on the side of any nation, but he is on the side of righteousness and judgment. This angel of the Lord is seen throughout scriptures, even turning against Israel any time that there was sin in the camp.
Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 and 21.
He is impartial, holy, and fierce. He is not one to play with. So Joshua falls on his face and worships. There, in chapter 6, he receives the unusual battle plan. This was a test of obedience. The story is well known. The people obeyed the simple instructions, and Jericho's wall fell flat before them. Rahab and her family were brought out of Jericho. At first, they were outside the camp of Israel. At the end, she dwelt in Israel. In the New Testament, her name is mentioned twice, in Hebrews 11 and in James chapter 2, as a witness of faith. Hebrews 11 ends saying that those witnesses of faith, which the chapter enumerates, did not obtain the promise. This led me to realize the promise was not Canaan land, since that's where her and many others dwelt. The promise is that city whose builder and maker is God, and truly to dwell with God forever. Amen. Before we close tonight, I want to share with you how thankful I am to God and what a blessing the last few months of my life have been. This broadcast has enabled me to testify to you from the things which I have heard, seen, and learned in my Christian journey. No, I do not have the gift of prophecy. I do not understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I most certainly cannot move mountains. Nevertheless, I much rather hold to charity. Although all scripture is profitable, I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, charity is that which Paul was trying to apprehend. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the guiding light and the pursuit of my life. Of course, I am not saying anything others have not said before. Still, allow me to pour out my heart and express to you how I never thought that living for God could ever be so real and so fulfilling. Now I am as happy as ever, and I know I made the right decision when I chose the straight and narrow way. On this platform, I am just a resonance of the voice and the ways of God, and of the Lamb whom I love. So as long as I am afforded this opportunity, I will continue to bring to you the stories of men, women, and children who have made a difference while working unnoticed in the background. This broadcast is dedicated to Moriah Michelle Dennis, the living example of charity today. Glory be to God.
Being a mom is one of the hardest jobs in the world. What's helped me throughout the years is having someone to pray with me. That's why we have this prayer line. This is a place where you and your kids can call anytime and talk to another mom who'll listen to you and pray for you. Our kids will even pray for you.
I love God. I love reading my Bible and praying, asking God to raise me up to be a real Christian in my heart.
Yes, we are kids just like your kids. We go through a lot and we have a lot to learn, but we are ready to pray for you and go through it with you.
If you are a mom that needs prayer, you can call right now at 844-534-7729. That number again is 844-534-7729. Praying moms and their children are standing by to pray with you.